कुन्य बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी
गोपी जन वल्लभा शिवानधारी
यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन
यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन
यमुना तीरावन
चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी
गाय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
राधा माधव गिर बिहारी
श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो हरे कृष्णा आई वुड लाइक टू वेलकम Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you for this year's magical box or question and answers on Krishna consciousness. This is a forum which we have created for all of you to ask questions which are important for you. Because we have a certain format in which we answer the questions, we hope that it is highly informative and of great inspiration for you. Some of you are coming for the first time. This is Narayani. Narayani started to be the question and answer Gandharva when she was 10 years old. Now she is 13 years old, correct? Yes. She is a very innocent and honest girl, highly intelligent, but extremely neutral, and she will not at all influence what question will be taken. Maybe Jayapataka Maharaj has mystical potencies, and he will choose only the very difficult philosophical questions, and he will know what it is. So, and to avoid this, or that Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu uses his mystical shaktis, we have chosen Narayani, who is carefully preparing herself the whole year for drawing very objectively the questions. Alright, there are two little rules which I have to inform our esteemed God brothers. Please be as brief as possible. Some organizers have told me each question not more than 2 minutes, please, for the answer. Oh. But I'm the host of this and fully in control. I want to say, please take enough time until you feel you have answered the question. But it's really an exercise for all of us to be brief and concise. And Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who is an academic professor amongst being a wonderful Vaishnava, will give each one of us a feedback how concentrated and academically correct our answers were. Hare Krishna. So I'm trying
to.
You
should have told the people to ask 2-minute questions.
Here's our intelligent Jai Bhataka Maharaj. He said to the first, you should have informed the people to ask 2-minute questions. All right. There is another thing. If your God brothers feel that you would like to contribute to the answering of one question, please feel free to do so spontaneously. But as again, we are trying to to aim at compactness and full information for every question. Dobro. I will come to this question in a moment. The second rule is sometimes people from the camp who may not be devotees might like to put a question which is very troubling to the Vaishnava community in the basket. So if I see this, I request the learned assembly of Vaishnavas to make a decision that this question will be answered in a private forum or somewhere else. Because I really wish that there is a very, let me say, high level of spiritual content in this section. And sometimes maybe an outsider wants to boycott something, so I will be taking full responsibility to say this question will be answered in a different forum. Good. So, wonderful. Jai Pataka Maharaj has answered a question of regarding time. How long do we go? Maharaj, we will go, I think, 9, we have now 8:30, the kirtan was very inspiring and a little long, which is good, we will have up till 9:30, and maybe a little longer, but if we all know and respect that you have so much service, then if it's too long, you can tell me, and we can give you free space to go where your heart wishes. So, we will now, the first question I thought should go to day to Jai Pataka Maharaj, our senior Vaishnav. Narayani, please shake it very good. You can read without. Actually, my reading glasses. Krishna. Nari Krishna.
The question is more than 2 minutes long.
Krishna. Give me my red bag, Narayani. You can.
It takes 2 minutes just to read the question.
It's a question addressed to Sachinanda Maharaj. So we will take another. No, really, honestly. I will read it, the question, and then answer it. It says, Hare Krishna, dear Sachinanda Maharaj. Have you shaken well, Narayani? Good. So, Jai Pataka Maharaj. Dear Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. How to act if our authority is on the Kanishta platform? In the sense he's preaching something, but not living it. Unfortunately, this happens very often in the Belkane areas. Could you please help Jai Pataka Maharaj, your servant?
Om Gyanati Miranda Syagarandana Sadakaya Syagsudamidam Dhanatas Mai Sagave Namaha. Namaha, we can maybe do it all together then. We do it, we won't have to. Namaha Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Pisaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyasi Svatani
Mukakaroti bachalam pangulangayate giringati patam hang bande siguru vilatarinam paramananamalam shi chaitanya swara. Well, temple presidents and authorities are supposed to give us service. That's their service on behalf of the guru, is to give us devotional service. If the service they're giving us is reasonable, if it's productive, if it's useful for the temple, if it's something we can do, then whatever adhikari they're on, what's the problem? But if they're making demands of us which are beyond our normal capacity and things which they wouldn't do themselves, then it may become a problem. And devotees may feel that some kind of resistance. This is, seems to me more like a kind of a question for an ishtagosti. That there needs to be occasionally ishtagostis, and one could be even very specific about the kind of dichotomy. We should remember also the temple presidents are devotees. And they're also trying to do, that happens to be their devotional service. I know when I was 19 years old, I was asked to be a temple president. Two weeks after being initiated. And I told Prabhupada I was too young. And he wrote back to me and said, don't be on the bodily platform. But I made lots of mistakes. I'm sure I were much worse than anybody. But Prabhupada asked me to do this service, so then gradually I had to do it. So we should also... if you want to, what you can do actually with any authority, even your guru, you always have a right to ask a question. It's not an offense. If you challenge, if you criticize, that's maybe offensive. But if you ask a question, then I have a doubt, may I ask you this question? You're asking us to go out in Sankirtan or whatever it happens, or whatever, but yourself, you don't do it. So I have a doubt. I just wondered why. Maybe he has a good reason. He has a right to answer. So you can, if you have a doubt about something, you can ask a question very respectfully, and maybe the doubt will get cleared up. Otherwise, help him so that he can come up to the Madhyam level. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. The question to me was an invitation to Rotterdam. The devotee said, you go to Africa, but not to Rotterdam. Please come and visit us. This is the third time. So my answer is, I really will try. It's more, we look for philosophical questions here. Thank you. So, pray like everything depends on Krishna. But act like everything pray like everything depending on Krishna, but act like everything as if everything depends on you. Please tell us your view. Is the question clear, Chandramouli Maharaj and Krishna Chetraprabhu?
Yeah. That sounds like something for Chandramouli Maharaj.
Chandramouli Maharaj, you kindly help us. The question again is, we say we should depend on Krishna. We should act as if everything depends on Krishna. And we should pray as if everything depends on Krishna, but act as if everything depends on ourselves. Now we will hear Chandramouli Maharaj's solution to this.
Krishna told Arjuna the same thing. He said, fight for the sake of fighting, never consider happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, victory or defeat. So fight for me. So we have to serve, but we should know we're not the doer. Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, you have a right to perform your prescribed duties, but you're not entitled to the results of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. Then he goes on to finish the verse by saying, never be attached to not doing your duty. So we have to act. But we have to understand through the instructions of the spiritual master and by hearing from him sufficiently and understanding that we are not the cause of the results of our activities. It seems like it, because if you don't do something, nothing happens. But ultimately, it is that effort that is the principle of bhakti. And when Krishna is pleased, then he bestows the results accordingly. This idea of being the doer is the principle of the false ego. And by my efforts, things are happening. But you can make great efforts and nothing can happen. And you can make no efforts and so many things can happen. So it's not by our efforts, but we still have to make an effort. And to learn, Prabhupada explains, to learn this science needs to be taught by the spiritual master. So one has to be carefully understanding this principle under the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada says two things are necessary for any activity, determination or effort, and Krishna's mercy. So we can make the effort, but everything depends on Krishna's mercy.
This here seems to be a question to Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. How to realize that we are only God's servants, or servants of the servant of the Lord, and that we should not expect anything, that there is no reason to be disappointed, to become harsh, or to feel hurt. How to realize that our duty is just to give and just to serve?
There's a verse by King Kulashekhar, the second half of which says, Tat Britya Britya Paricharaka Britya Britya Brityasya Britya Britya Iti Mangs Maralokanath. O Lokanath, O Lord of the worlds, please remember me as the servant of the servant, 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 of your servant. Seven times removed. So many things can be said. It's an interesting topic, certainly. Expectation. Of course, we just heard from Chandramali Maharaj this point that Krishna is saying, don't expect. He says, you do not have a right to the results of your activities. You have no adhikar. How does it go? Karma nyevadhikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. You do not have adhikara. You do not have a right to the results of your activities. But you have a right to perform your activities. You have a duty to perform your activities, and you have a duty to not expect results. Okay, well, that's all very well in theory. Yeah, isn't it? But I confess, true confession, I'm very much attached to results, to my activities. But I make an effort to understand that I am neither the cause of the action in the first place, nor am I the end receiver of whatever result comes. If you think about it, just in terms of economics and money, we sometimes are paying money for something and sometimes we're receiving money for something. But the nature of money is that it has to be passed on. It has to, you can save it for some time, but, you know, then it doesn't have any meaning. The whole idea of money is it has some value, some exchange value. And if you don't exchange it for something, then basically what do you have? Just pieces of paper with numbers on them. And so when we have money, we think of it in terms of their exchange value. And so whenever we get a result, it may be in the form of money, but it might be in the form of something else, some kind of quantifiable result, or it can also be a non-quantifiable result. But if we understand this point, that the value of it is in the ability to pass it on, then the next question is where to pass it on to. And we understand, what are we? Jivar Sarupa Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das, Tatasta Shakti Veda Veda Prakasha. That is our constitutional position. So, with that reasoning, we're trying to practice using our spiritual intelligence. We understand, okay, I may desire some results, but where is that result going to end? It's anyway not going to end with me. I'm going to pass it on. And who am I going to pass it on to? Well, I'm servant of the 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 servant. So if I can find the next one in line that I'm servant to, then I pass on to that person. I pass on to the Vaishnavas, I pass on to Guru, I pass on to Krishna. So in that spirit, we can desire results for Krishna. And then everything is very nice. We understand in that spirit also that nothing is to be wasted. Everything that we have belongs to Krishna, so nothing, not one farthing, not one penny is to be wasted. Everything for Krishna. I don't know if that answers the question, but anyway. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sama.
Thank you very much. How to see our own spiritual potential? Potentials. If we don't see these potentials due to our weakness, is that making us happy in a way because we have no reason to be proud? Is that actually the real humbleness, or is that making us blind for spiritual advancement when one sees his potential? Thank you. I feel this question is very important. How can we recognize what we can do? And also, I feel we have to ask the question, how can we recognize which we cannot do and therefore should not do? It requires some honesty to look inside your heart and then search out for what you can do and what you cannot do. Most people in this world suffer because they do things which they are not meant to do. They suffer very much, but it seems there is a curse upon them. Maybe the curse of wrong education and expectations of their parents, so that they go on doing something which they shouldn't do and which makes them unhappy. To recognize what is your dharma, that is, what is your God-given duty in this life,
I would recommend three steps. First of all, in Manu Sanghita it is said that when you want to know something, take the counsel of at least six brahmanas. That is, because they will not err. Ask a group of devotees with whom you are confident and ask them, you have observed me, what can I do, what should I do? The next question you can ask about your dharma is, what gives you great satisfaction whenever you do it? For instance, I found out when that I had come from a very, quite influential family in Germany. But I found out when I joined, the real satisfaction which I had was when I was cleaning the toilets for the devotees. I felt this made me a little bit more humble, that detached me from the bodily concept of life, and I somehow always felt very good afterwards, especially when the devotees had come from India and the toilets were a little bit more frequent in use. I do remember that I thought this is at least for now my duty. It makes me very satisfied. It's not very prestigious, and when my father found out that I'm cleaning the toilets in the Hare Krishna temple, he thought, well, did we send you to school for that? But I found out it made me, the satisfaction of my heart told me I'm on the right track. This is what I should do. If it is very, very difficult for you to find out what you should do for Krishna, what are your gifts, you might do something which was very common in the Vedic civilization. You might ask a good astrologer. Best is a devotee astrologer. I think Urukrama Prabhu is in astrology. Is that true, Urukrama? Sorry? Moksha Rupi is an astrologer and a good devotee. I know Venu Gopal has helped many devotees when it came to the question, should I marry or not? He had told them, this is what it tells. You are better in this situation than in that situation. So it may sometimes take a little work to find out what you should do, but these three advices could help you. First, ask devotees whom you can trust how they view you. Second of all, be just find out where the satisfaction of the heart tells you this is what I can do and should do. And third, astrology. But I will now tell you the dynamite process, which brings everything very quick to which brings a quick answer. I have a prayer which I have learned. This prayer is, please Krishna, show me my next steps in devotional service. And if you pray this every day, it seems that there is a force which helps you. All right, this now... Hare Krishna, thank you. We will now turn over to Jai Pataka Maharaj. Narayani will shake especially good because our senior devotee should get a good question. Duli iskon ide ka tome. To poštone jedna od veliki švedski relikcija, kože ne mogu visoke duhovne standarde i istinski poskevene duše ito sto u iskon se malo ocenta doje na uku hovanje mlijeka kođe. Jaipataka Maharaj. Gdje Šila Prabhupada želio car se Krišno može sodovoličiti kvantitlet nome sasu slavio. Please answer this question. Some part. So, so our Stavavali will give you a translation because you are a foreigner here.
In Croatian again?
What?
No. Can I answer in Bengali?
I could.
Jai Pataka Swami also speaks fluent Spanish, so he could also answer in Spanish if that helps.
Spanish? A little German he speaks, most probably a little Indonesian. Okay, so could you understand the question? No! Maharaj, my reading was not very accurate, so that may be the reason.
Was that a German question?
You have created a new language, Maharaj.
So Stavavali will say it in Croatian and in English also.
Ide li iskon k tome da postane jedna od velikih svjetskih religija koje nemaju visoke duhovne standarde i istinski posvećene duše? Zašto se u iskonu malo naglaska stavlja na ukuhavanje mlijeka koje je Šila Prabhupada želio? Zar se Krišna može zadovoljiti kvantitetom?
Oh, that's what it means.
So the question in English, is ISKCON going towards being one of the great religions of the world which do not have high spiritual standards and truly devoted souls? Why do we not put more accent on boiling down the milk which Srila Prabhupada wanted so much, and can Krishna be satisfied with quantity only?
My understanding that in ISKCON we are both trying to make new devotees, as well as there's a continuous boiling down of the milk. This program here, with its multiple seminars from morning till night, is one example of boiling down the milk. That devotees are learning skills, learning information, spiritual knowledge, so that they can be better prepared to practice Krishna consciousness. One of the activities that we can do that helps for some devotees, making new devotees, is a way that they become more mature. It's also a form of boiling down the milk. And yes, I think we're heading to become a great religion of the world. We have a long way to go. Well, Sanatana Dharma is already a major religion of the world. But I don't think it means that we have to be watered down or Our principles are quite... One thing I noticed, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching, his movement was open for everyone. Nityananda did Harinam Sankirtan for hours and days and weeks, and everyone was invited to participate. And by participating in the Sankirtan, they became purified. They became realized. They became convinced. And then they started to take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. We don't want to be an elitist organization that only some people can chant Hare Krishna. We want to make it open that everyone chants. Those who are more serious, they'll become more dedicated. They'll practice the principles more deeply. But we want to make an outreach to everyone. Yesterday there were so many devotees at the beach for swimming that someone said, what are they doing there? They look like Hare Krishnas. And then the devotee said, I'm also a Hare Krishna. Everybody here is a Hare Krishna. Then I become Hare Krishna too. So we like that. Everyone feel favorable to chant Hare Krishna. I spoke over 2 minutes. I can go on.
Hare Krishna. So I think it's a very interesting question which was asked.
Maybe someone else like to comment more.
I'm like thinking maybe Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu would, from the religious science.
Maharaj.
I just have one
Maharaj,
comment.
Yes.
I just have one small comment. I think we should, as Maharaj said, we are interested in making as many persons active in Krishna conscious. But we shouldn't sacrifice quality for quantity. We want both. And that was Prabhupada's movement. He wanted to expand the movement, but he also wanted devotees to be of high quality in their own Krishna consciousness. So the problem is if we're just looking towards expansion and not educating and teaching our devotees to grow within their own environments, then we're actually really not, you know, fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's mission. We need both quality and quantity.
Well, that's what I think the point is to live in a temple. There's a certain minimum standard, 16 rounds, four principles. But to get people to chant on the street, you can't chant unless you chant 16 rounds the first day. You can't chant unless you give up all your sinful activities before you say Hare Krishna. I don't think you're not going to make one single devotee. I saw Prabhupada tell somebody who was a bhakti in the Montreal temple, he was smoking. He told him, in those days he said, you can't smoke in the temple, but you can go out. And every day you reduce by one cigarette how many cigarettes you smoke. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then give it up. The Prabhupada was very merciful in the beginning. Now we have a much higher standard. We wouldn't even think to have a bhakti in the program. Who smoke, but before I'm the congregational minister, and I have to deal with people who are just coming fresh, and they may have so many bad habits, and they may have, but we want to open our door for them so that we can boil the milk down, we can help them to become advanced. But the entrance when you're not living in a temple is much different than when you're living in a temple. Maybe that's where I'm coming from, a slightly different angle.
You have to have some milk in order to boil it.
Bravo! Thank you very much. Here's the next question. Hare Krishna, does the mentality that we are the enjoyer and the creator exist in the soul itself, or does it appear when the pure soul comes in contact with matter? Thank you. Is the question clear? No? Again, does the mentality that we are the enjoyer and the creator exist already in the soul itself, or does it only appear when the pure soul comes in contact with matter? Who would like to answer this question?
You're giving it to me, or you want it?
No,
do you want it?
No.
You should.
Mm-hmm. You're next.
As you are debating, I will jump into the
don't
occasion.
Don't worry, no matter, I'm ready.
Okay.
But I wanted Krishna Shetra to answer that one because I think he understands the question deeply. It's described of the nature of the soul is that he's Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunai Shravanadi Siddhi Chitti Kodiye Udai. In the hearts of all living beings, there's eternal, ecstatic, loving relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The soul is in contact with the Supreme Soul, is always in a position of subordination and service. And the principle of enjoyment is there within the soul, but the soul cannot enjoy separate from the Supreme Soul. So, the living, you might ask, might be the question, you know, how do you fall from the spiritual world? What is that consciousness that allows one to leave the spiritual world? Or what is that factor? There is their independent nature there. And the soul is always, in any position of its existence, it has what we say, abilities to choose. So, based on that, what we say, free choice, somehow or other, we've come to this material world. So how does that happen? Srila Prabhupada never really gave us a clear answer as far as how he said, just go back to Godhead and you will understand everything. But he also answered one, he also said one thing one time. He says that the propensity to want to experience is there is also within the soul. He uses the example, you're walking along the street and you see a movie theater, and then outside the movie theater there is the marquee describing what's inside, and it's a very scary horror movie. And you know if you go in you're going to get scared and have a very frightening experience, but you do it anyway. So the soul has that propensity to want to experience, and when it tries to experience something outside of its natural relationship with Krishna, it falls to the material world.
Yes.
In Bhagavad Gita it says, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatano, that the soul is the part of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, we also have a tendency to want to enjoy. So from that, Krishna Chetra can correct me if my interpolation is wrong, but it would seem that since Krishna is the original creator, that propensity for us to create would also be within us. Krishna has all these qualities, so we also have in a minute quantity. We may only be able to create trouble. Or create babies, or create problems, or create, I don't know, different houses, or be an architect, but he can create unlimited universes, and Brahma can create one universe. But that's something that's built in within us. To which degree people manifest that, that's another issue, but it's the propensity to enjoy, to create, which seems as a part of the from the Bhagavad Gita sloka. It's an aspect of the soul. It's something Krishna has. Because we're part of Krishna, we also have it. Perfection is to do everything for Krishna, to create for Krishna. The Prabhupada created the Krishna conscious movement for Krishna. He said it was his ecstasy for his spiritual master to offer it to spiritual master. So
how come everyone's looking at me? persons like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, are persons like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj born with a feeling of selflessness, or is there something that needs to be grown and is possible also for me? the very good question. Is someone either born with some quality and then he can use the quality, or is he or is there no possibility for him to develop a quality because he's not born with it? Can he develop a certain quality like selflessness?
If you got it, you got it. And if you don't got it, you don't got it.
Wow, that was a very profound answer.
I'll expand on that.
Yeah, this is not yet the answer. It is an American vernacular comment, isn't it? In the American language.
What can I do? I just spent several months in America. Well, that's because His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami's name is mentioned. I can just say one thing in relation to him. Personally, I don't think he would mind my saying this, because he was very much open about it, that he felt himself very much, he felt himself to be very much unadvanced, and therefore he wanted to work on himself very intensely to increase his Krishna consciousness. When I traveled with him, he was chanting 42 rounds a day, getting up at 2:30 in the morning and eating once a day. And it wasn't, there was no pride connection to that. Rather, he said, I need this extra sadhana because I'm so fallen. He actually felt that. One could see that he genuinely felt that. At the same time, it was obvious to all of us that he had these profoundly, he had these qualities within him. And now the question, did he acquire, did he have from previous life? I think in a way it's a moot point. Fact is, he had them. He would certainly have given all credit to his spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, for whatever qualities he showed. He would have given all credit to Krishna. And I think that is that's the general principle that we want to follow too. Whatever quality, qualification we have, whatever little bit it is there, is by the grace of Guru and Krishna. And it may or may not have been there in a previous life, whatever. Fact is, it's there now. Now let me fan it. Let me fan the flame, the little spark, and let it increase. Going back to the philosophical point that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, having the qualities of Krishna in minute quantity suggests that we all have all qualities of Krishna in minute quantity. And these can be increased, they can be expanded in the right atmosphere, in the right situation. And that's why our acharyas, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, gives the analogy of cultivation, of watering and fencing in and weeding. In other words, making a favorable circumstance, a favorable garden, where we can allow our qualities, however minute they might be within us, to grow, to expand, to flourish, to bloom.
May I comment on this question also?
Mm, please.
I want to raise a question. Is it possible to change? Is it possible to develop a quality which you don't have but you would like to have? I would like to answer this question. It's not easy. It is said there's a saying, it's more difficult to change a person's character than to move the Himalayan mountains. It's not easy. But whereas it's maybe impossible to move the Himalayan mountains, it is possible to move a person's qualities. But it's only possible if that person develops a great sense of urgency. Let me tell you a story. Once there was a rascal. He hurt everyone around him. He had a foul language. He had the tendency to be political and disturbing. And he got himself into a lot of trouble, really. So one day he decided to go to a sadhu and asked him, "My dear Sadhu Maharaj, I'm very, very much suffering. Can you make me a better person?" The sadhu looked at him and said, "When were you born?" The rascal gave him his birth details. The sadhu made a quick calculation and said, Oh. I don't want to answer your question if I can make you a better person, because there is a very important information which you should know. You will die within 1 week. After 7 days, you are dead." The man was shocked. He went home. He thought. And the thought came to him, "I have wasted really my life. I've hurt so many people. Too much." And he began to do what is called, in English, I can say it properly. He began to make amends for what he had done, to right the wrong. Jai Pataka Maharaj, you are a little tired, it seems. No, you're enjoying good. So he began to really make many corrections with his people. And after 1 week, the sadhu came, the devotee came and visited him and said, "How are you feeling now?" And the man said, "Very, very well. I mean, everyone seems to like me. I have a very good relationships. And I have gone every day to the temple. And I must say, I really appreciate that I'm a part of God and that I can serve Him. But I will die after seven... I will die now in a few moments, it seems. Maybe in 1 hour." And the sadhu said, "No. I knew that you wouldn't take to a sadhana. I knew that you were not very, very sincere. So to make you more sincere, I told you only that you would die within 7 days. Because the moment you think about your death, you think about your spiritual life. So you have taken up, and now I can instruct you what to do in detail. So if you want to change your life, if you want to change your personality, if you want to really do something, you need to have a sense of urgency first. You can't be half-hearted about it. You can't be lazy about it. You can't be insincere. And I believe our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he often said to me that he would live in the life, in the mood that he only had one more day to live. When he had gave his four principles, which you can see in Gita Nagari everywhere on the wall, one of the principles is that you should understand that the people with whom you are now with are most probably the persons with whom you are at the time of your death. Prabhupada also had said, a spiritual person should keep death in front of his eyes because it will make him serious. It will make him use the time properly. If you would know, you will die before your morning breakfast. What would you do in that time? You would most probably chant very good rounds. You would really focus yourself and concentrate yourself. So to develop good qualities in spiritual life, you need to have a sense of urgency. The mystical tradition of the Jews, it's called the Hasidic tradition, says, if you want to change, concentrate all your thought power on what you want to change and what you want to achieve, and then pray to God that He helps you. Again, from another tradition this time, we learn to apply some urgency in our life, some eagerness really, and then it's possible. But don't think if you stick your head in the Hare Krishna movement that after 10 years you are automatically an enlightened soul. You may be a blooped soul. You have to apply some urgency to your own practice. Hare Krishna.
Liebe.
So we have now 9:15. What should we do? Should we maybe think about breakfast now? Should we maybe have 2 more questions, I would suggest? To the end will mean up till tomorrow morning. I would suggest 2 more questions. Narayani, please shake very well that the these are all wonderful questions, but we really want an exciting questions which make our head stand on the end. So you need to shake a little bit, yeah, with full strength, Narayani. Any advice for a devotee who has problems with masturbation? Not often, but he is living in the temple. Don't know if all of you know what this is. I had to learn this word. It's a one-man show. Any advice? Maharaj, you seem to approach the microphone. Please speak.
It's bad for your health.
I read somewhere in Prabhupada's writings that you lose 4 times as much vital fluid as having normal sex. And so it would be something that we should try to avoid. People are having difficulties. I presume that this person is not married. Although marriage itself, we don't say that it should be unrestricted relations, but the idea is that we promote that people that have a problem with their sex desires, people that want to be responsible. Being married is probably the responsible ashram, but it also gives a facility for having regulated sex life. And so one can control these kind of tendencies. I met a nun once in the Roman Catholic Church, and she told me she had a problem with masturbation. So it's not only men, it could be women also. No. And going deep into one's sadhana, is a way to get out of this kind of things. Prabhupada, once some devotee came and asked Prabhupada that he was, not specifically masturbation, but saying that he was passing a semen in the night. And exactly how it was happening he didn't mention, but Prabhupada told them, don't eat a lot of sweets. And don't eat a heavy meal late at night. So I don't know if pizzas are recommended or not. But certainly not like a big kilo of halva or something. So there's, Prabhupada was quite matter of fact about the situation, that this is a challenge, you have to deal with it, you have to control your senses. There was a devotee in one part of the world that was having such a problem and couldn't, that he wore boxing gloves at night so that he wouldn't do it. I don't think I
should say Krishna.
Being a spiritual master, we have to counsel people on all kinds of issues, and which may not be appropriate for a sannyasi, but I don't know exactly what to, you know, to answer in this thing, because it's more of an individual issue. When you have individual devotees and they're facing this problem, then you counsel them, you hear what they eat, what they do, why, what's their situation, and try to help them to get over it.
Can you say something, Raj?
Sure.
I think one thing, and this is a very, you know, I've also come across people with similar problems. One thing that may help, and this is just a practical thing, beyond the, you know, the desire to experience some kind of pleasure, is that to divert that energy into Krishna consciousness. A lot of times the agitation is just that the energy builds up due to what we say, improper eating, or just something that's there in our past. So I highly recommend devotees do some type of yoga. And that helps. You know, 15, 20 minutes in the morning to more or less rechannel that energy in a proper way. And there are yoga exercises that can help in that regard. And of course, that's not the complete solution, but it does help if the problem is simply a physical thing. The mental thing we have to work on in terms of getting advice and also understand increasing the quality of our chanting. But I think yoga is also very helpful. Okay, that's all I have.
We come to our last question. A question for His Holiness Sachidananda Swami. Oops. We are living in a very intense and fast time. Many of us, younger or older devotees, are in the phases of life when we have to settle many material things. Take care of education, work in our jobs, take care of our children, relationships. I feel sometimes I'm swimming in an ocean of passion. My question or concern is, how can I advance in my spiritual life or perfect my spiritual practices while living such an intense life? Thank you. I feel this is a very good question for
all the devotees on the panel. Let me try to answer the question by addressing the different phases of life. You could read the question again if you want to prepare your answers, the other members. See, it is very natural and it is to be expected that we go through different phases of life. And a phase in life can also mean that we have to spend our time differently in that nude phase of life. I believe in our spiritual traditional education, this is acknowledged. I would like to tell you my answer by telling you what the guru tells the disciple who leaves the gurukul and enters into grihastha life, into that phase. In the gurukul, traditional gurukuls, the brahmacharis have been all the time with their guru maharaj. They had a rigorous shastric study program. When they were with Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami sent them also into the Goshala, where they were serving mother cow. He gave lectures to them. What else? There was some training in puja. I once read about Jiva Goswami's school or training program. And it is clear, at such a phase in the life, there's only spiritual life, only spiritual engagements, no concern with earning money or going to a secular university and studying computer programming. It was anyways not there at that time. Now, when the spiritual master would have his, you could say, goodbye meeting with his disciple, not goodbye for life, but goodbye in the sense that he would leave the idyllic ashram of the guru and enter into grihastha life, he told him one sentence: "My dear disciple, never forget that the material world will never give you happiness. Always remember that your happiness lies in the spiritual world." And I really feel with this sentence, the guru has expressed something or given the disciple something which would help him for the rest of his life to remain spiritually oriented, even within a situation where one has maybe to build a house and for the growing family, or where one has to, you know, spend a lot of time in earning money, or as the where the woman has to take a lot of time in taking care of the small children who need her practically every moment of the day. But we should remain, when we are entering a different phase, we should still look towards the spiritual world as our ultimate aim. We may not have so much time for purely Shravanam and Kirtanam practices as we had when we were single, but when we do our let us say short program of Shravanam Kirtanam, then we should be fully present there, knowing well that my real life is in the spiritual dimension. My real life is there I want to go, and most properly, in order to go there, I will require, let me say, a good orientation in my spiritual. I will require some spiritual practices to keep me alive. And my dear devotees, please know, Krishna will understand you. He will not condemn you because now you may not do so much seva as you used to do, so much shravanam and kirtanam as you used to do. Krishna understands, and he has said, he has created these ashramas for your purification. So you should not go fully into the grihastha ashram, that is a Krishna conscious orientation in your life as, you know, arranging some material things maybe for your family or for your situation. Hare Krishna. Yes. Who should speak first? Actually, feel also.
I have two little
maybe
points.
Jai Pataka Maharaj, you should, because this is really your area as congregational preaching, you should give the last conclusion, the Siddhanta on this.
Yes.
We want to hear. So, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, please speak.
Two little points. One point is that because the question was put in the context of the experience of life being very hectic, very intense, so many duties, certainly that is true, no one can deny. At the same time, sometimes we might think things are worse than they actually are. The way I want to illustrate this is with something which I heard recently a devotee told me, and I think there's every reason to believe it's true. He read an article, one reporter was in China, where there are, within China, there are 100 cities, each with a minimum of 1 million people. And some of them have 2 million, 5 million, and so on. They have, you know, we always hear how many people live in China. As we all know, China has become a huge factory where everything that, well, probably most of what we have in our Croatia or whatever, probably this chair was made in China, right? Everything else we look at, is it made in China? Sure enough, it's all made in China. Who's making all of that? Well, millions and millions and millions of factory workers. And here's the interesting point. These factory workers, many of them live in these cities during the week, 5 days a week. And then they go back to their homes out in the country for the weekend, traveling by train. Now, for some of them, the train ride may be 20 hours to get to their home. And they'll be riding in a train which is so packed with people that they're literally standing for 20 hours, unable to move from where they are, standing up in a train for 20 hours. Now, you may ask, well, what about going to the bathroom? 20 hours is a long time. Yes. Simple solution. Diapers. Diapers, you know, diapers. Nappies. People have to wear nappies, diapers, in order to live this life. I don't think we have this problem yet.
Adult diapers.
Adult diapers.
Progress.
A new business. Progress, yes. So, my point here is sometimes we have to get things a little in perspective. Yes, things may be bad, but they may not be quite that bad. Hare Krishna. The other point is maybe a little practical tip, and that is if you're... if you have a job, you might be in what in America they call a blue-collar worker or a white-collar worker. It's a way of saying some people have more manual labor jobs and some people have office jobs. The white-collar means, you understand. Well, in both cases, you'll usually have an upper left-hand pocket, depending which, you know, most shirts. So you can put something in that shirt pocket in the morning before you leave for work. You can write out a verse from Bhagavad Gita. And you can, a little piece of paper or a card, and you can fold it up and you can put it in your pocket. And actually, what you can do is have it big enough so that it sticks out of the pocket a little bit. And in case you forget to pull it out now and then in the course of the day to read, forgetting a little injection of Krishna consciousness, because it's sticking out, someone may ask you, what is that in your pocket? And then you'll be reminded, oh, yes, I have to read my verse. And that you can do every day. It can be the same verse for 1 week, or maybe not. Every evening you write a new verse. And that way you get a little injection. And that can go a long way to bringing you back into focus. What am I doing here in this situation? Yes.
I was with Srila Prabhupada when he went to a place called what's the place? Anyway, it's just halfway between Mayapur and Calcutta.
The Grove,
yeah. The Mango Grove. There's a little town next to the Mango Grove. Chakra.
Ranga.
I don't know why it slips my mind now, but anyway, he did an evening program there, and most of these people were just within range. It's an hour and a half train ride to Calcutta, and the people there generally would commute to Calcutta for an hour and a half. So Prabhupada said, look, you people are commuting to Calcutta. This is your day. You get up in the morning, you grab a bite to eat, a cup of tea, a biscuit, you get on your train. For an hour and a half you sit in a train, crammed together. I mean, it's practically like what he said, standing room only. We can sit if you're, they can sit because they're at the beginning of the line, but beyond that everyone's standing. And then you get to the train station at the in Calcutta. You have to either take a bus ride, where the buses are usually overcrowded, so you walk for 1 hour. Get to your office. Then you work for an hour and a half, 2 hours in the office. Tea break. 15 minutes you can take tea and another biscuit. Then 2 more hours of work. Lunch, tiffin, half hour. you go out and buy something, or you have brought a box lunch from home. You take a snack. Then 2 hours of work. Tea break, afternoon. Then 2 more hours of work. Then walk 1 hour back to the train. 1.5 hours in the train. You come home. You have dinner. Then that night, you either sleep, or maybe you have sex, and then you sleep. And you do this every day. So is this human life? He was like, so, then he quoted that verse from the Rishabhdev instruction to his children, that this happiness in the material world of sense gratification is even enjoyed by the eaters of stool, like the pigs and the dogs. And we should try to go for unlimited spiritual happiness. But then Prabhupada said, but what is the solution? You have to maintain your families. You have to do the work. So I'm not telling you to give this up, but I'm saying to transform it into something more Krishna conscious. When you're riding for an hour and a half on the way to Calcutta, chant Hare Krishna. Have kirtan in the train. And they started, and to this day, Chaktaha, the name of the place is Chaktaha. And from Chaktaha, they chant Hare Krishna every day to Calcutta for an hour and a half. So I was told that there's a problem in Slovenia, I mean in Croatia, that very qualified devotees, very active, good Namhat preachers, good devotees from the temple, but once they get kids, and once they get married, especially when they have children, they're like off the map. They're so busy. Just like I said in the question here, what do? We have kids, we have this, we have that, we're like passion. And what I've seen like all over the world, being the congregational minister, that in many places, just because they have kids, they don't stop doing some preaching. They don't stop their deity worship. In the house, doing their deity worship, someone told me, I don't have time. I said, what if you have another children? Will you make time? One more child? Yeah, of course. So just consider Krishna as your child. You have two children with Krishna, you have three children. You have to feed him, you have to bathe him. And then what's it then, Gujarat, the Pushti Mark they followed is that Krishna is your son. So you can take Krishna as your child and make room for your daily sadhana with Krishna. And then since Sachinandan Maharaj said the real happiness is in our Krishna consciousness, like everybody, just like all the people here, they're swimming, they're fishing, they're doing some kind of hobby. Everybody has something they do for recreation. Probably sit and watch television is very popular with many people. So make what is your recreation doing bhakti sangha meetings or going to the temple and doing some temple seva, depending where you live, if you live nearby a temple. Have some devotional service. That's your recreation. That's your diversion. That's your happiness. I mean, I get happiness by talking about Krishna with you. Why you won't get happiness talking about Krishna with your other friends and colleagues? Bhakti Sangha is so nice that you sit and discuss about Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna, you discuss. There was one lady, her husband was working, children went to school. She said, I have 2 hours free every day. So she decided, I'll go out and visit condominiums and go door to door and try to talk to people to see if we can arrange in the condominiums bhakti sangha meetings. So in this way she would go and then she would focus on one condominium, talk to find a favorable person, meet some other people. And in this way she opened up 25 bhakti sanghas herself. She's like an empowered. Then she migrated to Canada. Now in Canada, she's opened up already 8 in Toronto. But she has 2 children. She helps the children with their studies. Husband's working. Husband also, he was transferred to South Africa and he set up 4 bhakti rikshas over there. So make it your campaign. Make it your hobby. Make it your diversion. How you can do bhakti sanghas, how you can do preaching. It's so much fun, it's so much ecstasy. It's just one of the things, that you're already passionate, you're already doing so many things, it's just one more thing you add to the pile. One day a week you meet in the evening and you discuss about Krishna. But that's going to be the one that makes you happy. That's my humble submission.
So I want to thank all of you very much, especially our exalted Vaishnavas who have given the answers. You were really giving very, very packed answers. And I also want to thank all of you very much for having asked such wonderful and relevant questions which are interesting for everyone, really. Who are for the universal benefit. Now, Jayapataka Maharaj asked this difficult question. What to do with the other questions?
You can
even the answer to one of or two of these questions?
Oh, yeah. We could. Maybe what we could do is the preachers who are here, they can just take a few appetizing questions from time to time, you know, and in their lectures and their presentations, they can answer questions. And I can offer like this. I will also maybe pick a few questions in my presentation, but then I will pray also to the deities that all the questions which were not answered verbally during this session will be answered in your heart by Krishna. That is what I can offer. Hare Krishna. May Lord Krishna in your heart give you the answer to your question. And also if it's an urgent question, you can approach, for instance, these devotees who give darshans the whole day. You can go to Krishna Chaitra Prabhu and Chandramouli Maharaj and Jayapataka Maharaj and make a time with their assistance and then ask them this question personally. That is also possible. So prayer is there and lectures they will be answered, and also in the heart they will be answered, and someway this is my answer to your difficult question, Jayapataka Maharaj.
Give our moderator and question and answer magic box magician His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj a big Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. And we want to give a special Hari Bol to Narayani, who Hari Bol. Narayani ki. Maybe you have to bring her to Mayapur, she can do this one too.
Yes. Maybe in Mayapur you can also do this one.
You can have the magic box there.
There was someone in the camp, Jayapataka Maharaj, last year, just a tourist, not connected so much with Krishna consciousness, and he came during this question and answer session and just said, first, very much in the distance, in some chair, and as he listened, he came closer and closer to the edge of the tent. And this year, he said, I came again because I have seen by the questions and by the answers that you are such a democratic movement. That was his response, that it is alright to ask deep questions, and it is desired actually to discuss things which are of concern in a deep way. And I really think this is one of the strengths. You know, there were some questions which the devotee might not have asked in the public, you know, what to do with this one problem of sense control, for instance. That question was there. And the way you so maturely answered this and so carefully and so practically, that's very, very important, that as a movement we are open and fresh, and we also seek for ways to apply our philosophy to the daily challenges in our devotional and practical lives. Anyways, we could go on and on, and but I would really say, because there are many seminars today, and there is a very nice day of Shravanam Kirtanam. Please now take your breakfast in all earnestness and get ready for the day. And please all come in the evening for the Nam Yagya, which will be this evening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.